I love my mother. I love my father. I will not hate my mother and father. So, how am I supposed to live this gospel? I live it not easily, but in a way that I think is more true to what is the point of our gospel, especially when coupled with our beautiful proclamation of our first reading. What rules our hearts? I came to understand the true meaning of this passage back when I was in seminary. When you're in seminary, once you discern priesthood, some people, myself included, when I started the process, presume that once you pray about it and you get the sense of the call, that you just call up the bishop and away you go. No, you got to go through interviews, the admissions board, psychological examinations, a lot of psychological examinations, interviews with the faculty at the seminary. And then, and part of that process is, in my opinion, something you don't really hear about is kind of the Fisher cut bait moment for most guys considering priesthood. And that's what's called the endorsement process. The endorsement process is that every year, your entire class and all the faculty of the seminary vote on whether or not you should continue on to the next year in seminary. And for some guys, that's kind of it. There's kind of that feeling that they can have of, wait a second, I'm not going to put my call into somebody else's hands, which is precisely one of the tests to see who's called to being a priest and who isn't. To realize it's not your vocation as a priest, but it's Christ calling you. And that in the most ancient tradition of the church, the community needs to affirm, in addition to your own heart, that you're called to be a priest. It's interesting, and for some it might seem odd, but having been through it, it works. And the most stressful endorsement process year we have, and by the way, you have to get 90% approval from your classmates and 97% approval from faculty. We did the math one time, and that means one faculty member can ding you and you can still get through. If two faculty ding you, you're going home. And in case if you were wondering, there were guys who went home after endorsement. It wasn't just a blind, oh, check the box, moving right along. We were asked to pray for it for a week and have time of reflection as to whether or not God is really calling this brother to the priesthood. In the diaconal year, your last year of seminary, that last endorsement, oh, it just feels like the bricks fall from your shoulders, because at that point, there are only two that can keep you from being a priest: the Lord above and the bishop. That's it. After that, those are the only two that can stop the process. And when we had our diaconal endorsements, there was a good friend of mine by the name of Carson. We both passed, you know, and I think that all but like two guys passed the final endorsement from my class. And so, seminarians aren't afraid to celebrate a little bit when these moments come. And for whatever reason, they always ask the Wisconsin guys to organize the social events. So me and my Wisconsin brethren put together a modest cheese cracker G&T night just to kind of celebrate that that we had all made it through. But Carson wasn't down there, so I went back up because Carson was on my floor. Carson! Come on down. We're celebrating the fact that we survived endorsement. You did too. We're going to be priests. Come on. Come down and celebrate with us. He said, I'm not feeling like it. I'm like, why is that? Carson was a convert to Catholicism. Fascinating story. And he grew up in a household where his parents were violently anti-Catholic. And they considered it one of the most horrible things of their life First of all, when their son became Catholic, and doubly worse, when he entered seminary. And on the day he was endorsed, he got a letter from his parents saying to him, "If you get ordained, we're not coming to your ordination. We're not coming to your first Mass. We're never coming to any of your Masses," and essentially disowned him. He knows what this gospel means. He knows what this passage today is trying to get at. I grew up a cradle Catholic with cradle Catholic parents that, as I've shared with you in the past, Dad mowed the lawn, Mom decorated the church. Going to church was like drinking water. It was just a normal part of our lives. I was always encouraged to pursue the Lord, and my parents were always encouraging me to be a priest. And that night, you know, I spent some time with Carson. I did convince him to come down. It's amazing what a little cheese and crackers and one G&T will do to a seminarian. And he was able to find joy. But I was praying for Carson that night, and I thought, if I grew up in that household, if I grew up where my parents didn't support me, and to the point of literally saying to me that if you get ordained, you're essentially dead to us. I'll be honest, I don't know how I would have handled that. I don't know how that would have hit me. And so therefore, why can I stand confidently and say that I love my mother and father, and that doesn't contradict scriptures, because my mother and father love the Lord. My mother and father follow Christ. And they always taught me to love the Lord and to follow Christ. And that I should not let anybody but the Lord guide my life. Granted, within the context of the community of faith. And so therefore, when we look at this passage, I think it would be healthy to not, you know, unless you hate this group or that group, but to recast it as, who controls you in your life? Who do you let have power and dominion over you in your life that isn't the Lord? I oftentimes think of my college ministry, and I always loved it when I was in Newman Center Ministry, and the sophomores would start coming in, the sophomores that were either undeclared majors or majors in a field that should have been undeclared majors. And they'll come into my office in a panic, saying, "Father, I don't know what to do." What don't you know what to do? "I am pre-law, but I want to change my degree." And I'd have that internal smile because I know it was coming, but I'm like, well, you know, about 70% of kids in college change their degree at least once. You know, you're in good company. "Why are you scared?" And they'll usually say something to the effect of, and this is a hypothetical, but they'll say something like, "I was supposed to be the family lawyer. My parents told me that from the time I was in high school, because I was smart, because I had all this talent, and Uncle so-and-so was a lawyer, and Aunt so-and-so did this kind of law, and all that kind of stuff. I was to follow in their footsteps." Okay. So what's changed here? I hate pre-law. I've always hated pre-law. I hated it even when I was a freshman in high school. But I didn't want to tell my parents because I was afraid I'd disappoint them. I'm afraid that they wouldn't approve. What do you want to do instead? English literature! Blessed are the poor. And I said, you know what? Will your parents be disappointed in the major change? Maybe. I think you should, you know, prep yourself for that. But I know this about parents. They want their kids to be happy. They want their kids to find joy. And if in your heart you feel that this is what the Lord wants you to do, I think your parents will be a little bit more accepting than you think of that path. So go ahead and talk to them and tell them you want to change your major. "No, Father, they're going to be so mad." I loved working with college kids. And sure enough, they talked to the parents, and nine times out of ten, there's always that one. Nine times out of ten, were they disappointed? Yeah. But they were supportive? Absolutely. What rules our hearts? What rules our lives? In our first reading, we heard about the confusion of kind of being pulled and tugged in many different ways. One of the things that ruled my heart for a time as a young priest was over-concern about what others thought of me. My brother priests, my parishioners. And I was in my early years, and I can still fall into this trap occasionally. I was the priest that would take the advice of anything that sounded rational. And so therefore, whether it was a parish project, whether it was something, somebody would throw out an idea, oh yeah, let's get on board. And as my spiritual director would oftentimes say, did you stop to pray about it? Amazing how just slowing down the process a little, offering it to prayer, can keep us from making some really bad decisions in life. And so for me, what did I have to hate? I had to hate the opinions of others of me. I had to hate what people thought a priest should be. I had to hate my brother priest's opinions of, well, you should do this, you should do that. You're at this parish, well, Father so-and-so did that, so you better do this, otherwise your parishes are going to run for the hills. Okay. Instead of just stopping, praying, and asking, Lord, what do you want this parish to be? Lord, who are you? What are you asking of me as the pastor of this parish and all my other assignments in the back? Those are the things we should hate, not each other. The world will hate us, believe me. It's incredibly talented these days of hating Christians. That is presumed. To heck what they think of you. To heck what they think of me. Take to prayer this simple question today. Lord, what rules my heart? Is it you or something or someone else? What, Lord, what controls me? For me, to this day, I admire Carson. He lives this gospel every day of his priesthood. He lives it far more perfect than I do. Let us be inspired by those like Carson who pursue the Lord even at the risk of rejection of their own family. Let us be thankful for those of us such as myself that have never had to face that reality. And let us realize that for us, as much concern as we have for disappointing the people that we love, our parents, family, friends, let us instead be that concerned about disappointing the Lord. Think of that, how beautiful that would be if instead of being terrified of what my parents would think about changing a degree or changing a career or profession, how much more beautiful that would be if we had that much concern for how we are to love God and how God loves us and what it is that God asks of us this day and what God asks of us for our lives.